disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." In the name of Jesus,
amen. Amen.
When life becomes quite difficult and dark, when we often become confused and afraid and lost, when change in life set us upon a path that we never expected, our first impulse is typically to run away. We try to rearrange things, perhaps, so that they feel like they were before. Something that is familiar, something that is safe or comfortable. We will often revert to old patterns and behaviors and habits. Even when we know that we should move forward in life, we find ourselves going backwards. After all, we think that it's the easiest or safest move, or so we think at the time. So it was that St. Peter returned to the sea. They have left Jerusalem. They have come home to the Sea of Tiberias, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee, the place where it all had begun. The upper room, the cross, the empty tomb, the house with the locked doors in fear of the Jews lay some 80 miles to the south now. And Peter decides to go fishing. It's safe. It's familiar. It's comfortable. And so the other disciples follow. I think you can well imagine that just as much as Peter desired to catch fish, he was hoping also to catch or find answers. True, we can pick up and we can leave people and places with a fair amount of ease, especially today. But the thing that we cannot do is that we cannot run from ourselves. Wherever we go, there we are in body and soul, in both our despair and our hope, in both our darkness and our light, in both the old man and the new man. For Peter may have left Jerusalem, but Jerusalem has not left Peter. The memories are still quite fresh and vivid. Think about it. The Last Supper, the arrest, the fire in the courtyard, the insistent denials one after the other. The rooster that crowed at midnight, the betrayed eyes of Jesus when Peter looked into the eyes of Jesus. And then, who can forget the horrific crucifixion and the angelic messengers of the empty tomb, and then the strange words of his rabbi, "Peace be with you." Certainly he wonders as he casts the net out into the sea, what have I done? What was the point of all those 3 years with that Jesus? Who was he after all, and where is he, and who am I? What will I do now? Where will I go? What will happen to me? Certainly you can see that these questions very well may be sifting through the mind and heart of Peter and even the other disciples with him. And so out on the boat trying to catch fish, they are physically and mentally exhausted because they're coming up empty-handed throughout the entire night of fishing. In many ways, this is indeed a picture of our fallen humanity. That Jesus seems distant to us, and our works in this life avail to nothing, and nothing comes of them. Or so it seems in this life. So what changes all of this? Not only for Peter, but for the disciples, for us. What brings about a hope and a future? It's simply Jesus. The text is always about Jesus, fulfilled in Jesus. For here is his third bodily resurrection appearance to his disciples after Easter. Jesus is there on the seashore, not that far from where the boat is, and we are out on the boat. We can't see him or know him, but he can see us and he can know us. He sees us toiling and getting ourselves nowhere. He sees us looking for answers in all the wrong places. He sees us twisting in the wind, trying to make a way forward for ourselves. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just see you from the shore. He knows you, and therefore he calls to you. And what does he say to you? He says, children, or my children. He calls you his child, and in calling you his children, he's revealing to you a father's heart, an Emmanuel, God's heart. So he says to his disciples, look, try the other side of the boat and throw your net there. And these words, we might think, are just great fishing advice from Jesus, but they are meant to remind the disciples and us what Jesus has already done. The disciples no doubt remember the last time that Jesus told them how to fish, and they had gotten a huge amount of fish. But more so, deeper here, is that we Christians are called to remember and meditate on the goodness of our Lord, upon his deeds and upon his works and upon all scripture which testifies to him. For we believe that in hearing that scripture, in listening to that scripture, we find and receive eternal life. For that is life after Easter. Life after Easter is simply remembering by way of the Holy Spirit, who brings to your remembrance the words and works of Jesus that have brought you from bitter death unto joyful resurrection life. And so the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, knew it was Jesus. Why? Because it says on the seashore, he heard Jesus. He heard Jesus' words, my children, calling to them. And he remembered the scriptures, and then he confessed, it is the Lord. No longer was the Lord some distant God, but he was the enfleshed God of Easter. Peter then hears John, and then he jumps into the water. Maybe Peter thought that he could walk on water. Or perhaps maybe he wanted to just get to shore and talk to Jesus finally. Either way, this is very descriptive of our life as Christians in the church after Easter. As Christians, we are given to hear the Word of God and to listen to it and to believe its prophetic and apostolic Word. And then what do? We plunge into the waters of our holy baptism, which is safe and comfortable. For there is where Jesus first called us as His children, as His child, as His own dear lamb. That's where Jesus saves sinners like you and me today after Easter. Because after Easter, the Lord is not with us in the same way that he was with us before Easter or the disciples. Today, he is now with us through holy baptism, through the preaching of his holy word, through the giving of his holy supper, and through the office of the holy ministry, through which called men serve you with the gifts of Christ. In short form, as Jesus told Peter, feed and tend my sheep. For these things by which Peter would feed and tend his sheep, these are the marks, the visible signs, the testimonies, the gifts by which we may truly know, trust that Jesus Christ is with us and among us and for us. Now, can these things be seen? Yes. Can they be felt? Why, certainly. Can they evoke emotional responses? Absolutely. But the seeing and the feeling and the emotional experiences are not the ground for such responses. They're not its cause. Rather, the divine Word of God is the cause of such experience or emotion. Because we are built up by the Word, and our faith is formed and contoured, and it grows in the sole foundation of this prophetic and apostolic Word of Jesus Christ, which is spoken to us. And He is the sole author, and He is the sole cornerstone of its Word. So even life after Easter, we all know, goes dark and it becomes sinful and it becomes twisted and it becomes very fallen in this world of iniquity and sin. Peter and the other disciples found that out all in different ways after Easter. And when we become lost and confused and afraid, when our first impulse may be simply to run away or to fall into destructive old habits or patterns, the risen Savior calls out to you like He called out to the disciples, and He says, "My children," or "my child." And in saying this, He shows you what kind of Father that you have been given in His death and resurrection. A gentle and loving and caring Father. And that is, as Jesus says, "You are my sheep, and I feed you and I tend you at all times and in all places. For do you not know that I bled for you, that I died for you, that I rose for you, and that I will ascend for you? All that you might be mine, that I would be the vine and you would be my branches." The safest move is always to abide in Jesus and His Word. For it is Jesus alone that causes John to confess to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so He calls us to remember, to hold fast, and to abide in this comforting announcement, "It is the Lord." And in hearing this, we are transformed from sinners to saints. From a guilty conscience, we are now given a clean conscience and a right spirit. From enemies of God to friends of God. From sons and daughters of the world to sons and daughters of the risen King. From those destined to die to now those who are destined to arise from death and to walk in the land of the living and proclaim the wonderful deeds of our Lord. We are, after all, His Christians, His lambs. So every Sunday is the third day, if you will, a day of Easter. Every Sunday, Jesus appears in this place and tells you who you are. His own dear lambs that He has marked with His cross and the water and the blood that flowed from His body. Every Sunday, He gives you His flesh and His blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of your sins. For the journey is often tiresome, and it is with far too many crosses and far too many questions and far too little joys and far too little answers. For if we are honest, we have all walked in Peter's shoes in one degree or another. Disciple of Jesus who was fishing for answers, doubting the mercy of the Lord, that being which is greater than his own sin, and worrying that the words of Jesus always perhaps sounded good, too good to be true. When we shuffle such thoughts through our heart and our mind, when our hearts betray us in various crosses in this earthly life, we are to remember the words of our Lord. We are to remember particularly the appointed psalm for this third Sunday of Easter. As a psalmist who has flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, bears his soul and yet rejoices in the words that he confesses. O Lord my God, I cried to you, and you have helped me, and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, and you have restored my life from all those who go down to the pit. For your anger is but for a moment, but your joy and your favor is but for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Indeed, every day in Christ that is lived is a day that is lived in hope and in the light of the Easter resurrection. That one day we shall awake from our slumber, and we shall confess with the disciples, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, it is indeed the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.